Beyond the Mic with Sean Dillon.
We're joined on the star line by a singer, songwriter, and musician. You know him and his band ever since the early 90s. They've created 11 studio releases, 4 certified gold or platinum, and more than 8 million records sold. Add on the Sparkle and Fade 30th anniversary tour. We welcome Art Alexakis from Everclear.
Hey, Sean.
Art, let's go Beyond the Mic. How did this tour revive your love of music?
That's a weird question. I don't know what you're talking about. My love of music has never gone away.
Your music has been described over the years as many genres. What would be the best description of your music from you?
Rock and roll. I never bought into the whole alternative thing. Even when it was going on, I was grateful because I was part of it. But it's rock and roll, man. If it's bass drum and guitars, maybe a keyboard, vocals, it's rock and roll.
You guys released Live at the Whiskey A Go Go, the first live album from Everclear. How does a live performance fuel you?
Well, you know, we released that almost 3 years ago. We had never really done a live album before, and I wanted to do it my way, so I paid for it. And we recorded it and filmed it and then basically licensed it to the label. And that's kind of the way to do business as far as I'm concerned. That's how you do it your way. That's what Zeppelin did with their first album, you know. I think it came out great. I think it sounds great. It's not perfect because live shows aren't supposed to be perfect. And it's rock and roll. We don't play with the net. We don't play with tracks. We don't play with tuning or any of that nonsense. We're out there rocking, man. You get what you get. That's what rock and roll is.
When we knew you were coming on, we had our Beyond the Mic listeners give us questions for you. And here they are. Tony Dietz has the following one. Art, how much have you seen popular music evolve in the time that you've been writing and performing? For example, Father of Mine would likely not be as much of a hit song in today's music age versus when it hit the market.
I debate that. I think that song has a universal message that is just as relevant, if not more so today, than at the time. And if I wrote it and produced it today, it would sound more contemporary, I'm sure, if I was a younger man, because I would have different influences. So I kind of debate that whole and negate that whole theory. And I've looked at what other writers have said. I think that song, I think Everclear, just to be honest with you, we're selling more records and more downloads now than we have ever.
Wow.
Not records, but I mean like vinyl. You come to a show or you buy it online, we keep making vinyl and it keeps selling out. And we have a 30th anniversary of Sparkle and Fade coming out, deluxe vinyl that's going to double album with a bunch of like songs that no one's ever heard before and demos and stuff like that. It's really cool. And I did it. I put it together myself with the help of Capitol. Universal let me into the vaults. It was super cool. And that's going to come out. And that's already, the first two pressings of that are already sold out.
Jeff Tuck's question. In the wake of Old Town Road, the blend of country and hip hop has proven immensely popular. Any plans to bring back cowpunk?
Man, people just don't get it. So cowpunk was a thing that happened for about 15 minutes in Los Angeles. And I was a fan of it because I grew up with a hillbilly mom. And I love punk rock and I love old country. And I thought it was cool. And there was cool bands in it. And there was pretentious bands in it as well. But when I moved to San Francisco about 5-6 years later, there was an alternative country scene that was a lot less like put on. It was just people who grew up with rock and roll and punk rock, but they loved country. And there was kind of a nice blend of it. You know, it was weird. And I documented it with my first record label, Shindig, with an album called Lazy Loud and Liquored Up, which has been out of print forever. And I'm working to get it back into print because it was super cool. But the whole cowpunk thing, I don't even know how to answer that. Sorry.
Misty King wants to know, as an A&R rep, do you see any shifts inside the industry back toward a rock and alternative sound?
I do. I do. I see a lot of young people. As a matter of fact, me and a couple of guys that I know, different engineer producers, are working together, and we're working with bands. There's a band that someone sent me a link to yesterday that I'm going to start doing writing sessions on Zoom while I'm on tour. And when I get home, we're going to produce two or three songs. And these young people, man, these young kids are just really in. It's amazing. Because let me segue from that into a thing that relates. About, I'd say about 20 or 25% of the kids that are showing up at our shows are between the ages of like 17 and 30. These kids weren't even born when these songs were on the radio. They weren't even born yet. But they're gravitating to the 90s because they feel like the 90s, and they tell me this, was the last vestige. Who uses the word vestige except Zoomers, right? Last vestige of real rock and roll was the 90s. And it's kind of hard to argue that. And all of us that grew up in the 90s, so they're treating the 90s as classic rock, which is interesting because those of us who were making music in the 90s, probably like you, grew up in the 70s when classic rock wasn't classic rock. It was contemporary. So there's a full cycle here of just great kids just getting exciting, getting guitars and drums and vocals and going out there making it. And they're doing it right. Just like I think in the 90s, we took hard rock, heavy metal, punk rock, new wave, hip hop, early alternative, put it underground, college radio alternative, REM, replacements, Husker Du, bands like that. Put it all together, and that's what you got in the 90s. So I'm excited about what I'm hearing from kids. If you'd asked me this question 2 years ago, I would have told you we're in a black hole of hell. In some ways, we still are, but not when it comes to rock and roll. So,
thanks to all our listeners who pose questions, and you can always find out if I'm going to be doing an interview that you might have a question for. Follow us on all socials. Art Alexarchus from Everclear joins us beyond the mic out on the Sparkle and Fade 30th Anniversary Tour. Art, it's time for the Rockin' 88 Random Questions Answer with the first thing that comes to mind. There's no pressure.
Okay.
Art, what's the best alt-rock album of all time?
Smells Like Teen Spirit.
What's your favorite song from your album Sun Songs?
White People Scare Me. Actually, that's not true, but I just wanted to say that. Actually, probably Hot Water Test, which is about my MS.
Do you have a best memory of Cabo?
Watching my daughter my daughter, I think she was 12, 11 at the time, 12, and she was out there at a resort. Getting a surf lesson. It's pretty awesome.
Most underappreciated band that influenced you?
X. Punk rock band from LA, X.
Very nice choice. What's the best thing about being a girl dad, Art?
Everything.
What was the first album you ever bought, and did you still have it?
No. That I bought with my own money?
Yeah, you bought.
That I bought with my own money. No. Actually, I might. I have a bunch of vinyl that's warped and in crates, but I haven't checked. The first album I bought with my own money that I owned, not money I had gotten for birthdays, and I was buying vinyl or getting my mom to buy, right? First album I bought was Kiss Alive 2 in 1977. That in Boston, I bought at the same time. The first album.
Best cigar you've ever smoked was a?
Padron. 1926. Yeah, 1926. They do a regular 1000 series, and then they do the 1926 series and the 1964 series. I like the 1926 what's it called when it's dark? Padron. I haven't smoked in a while, but I quit smoking. When I found out I had MS, I quit smoking.
Song you didn't get the credit you thought it deserved.
My song or anybody's song?
Yeah, it's up to you.
Wow, there's a bunch of them. I don't know. If I had to say, I'll do two. Yeah, Fountains of Wayne had a song, their first song called Radiation Vibe. I thought that was one of the best songs that came out in 1996. And it was a minor hit, but it wasn't what it should have been. But I think A Song of Ours, our first single that came out on our indie record that was later put out by Capitol and sent to radio, was a song called Fire Maple Song. And I think if that song came out a year later, I think it would have been a huge hit.
It's time for the back half with Art Alexakis from Everclear Beyond the Mic. What drives your continued sobriety?
My relationship with my higher power, my relationship with my family, my relationship with life. I wouldn't have the life I have if I didn't have sobriety. So my 36 years of sobriety have been a little wavy like that, but in the last 6 to 7 years, it's been just like that.
During the pandemic, you raised money to help musicians and music industry workers affected by the shutdown. Why was it important to help others, Art, when your band couldn't work either?
Because I could. My band was taken care of. They have retainers for me, and they also could get unemployment, and they got SBA stuff, and they did fine. Me, not so much. The bosses, I luckily got an SBA loan somewhere down the line, but it was looking pretty dire there and I was using money I put away for taxes and just trying to make it work. And it was a lot of dancing. You got to think about it. 84 shows canceled in the period of 3 weeks. 84 shows. That's my living. And that's what I pay my guys with. And that's what I pay my bills with and put my kid through, you know, saving for college. I had to use my kid's college money. I danced, but all that stuff's paid back. The loans are paid back. I'm back on ground. But yeah, there was a lot of dancing going on during that. But I wanted to help people because I could. And we're still at a place before that. When I got diagnosed with MS, I started giving a dollar from every ticket we sold from touring to Sweet Relief or the MS Foundation. We go back every year. We switch every year to both of them because they're both great organizations. And I give a lot of money to Music Cares, which deals with people in the industry that have, drug and alcohol issues.
When you're going out on the road, what's the one comfort item from home you have to bring? Skinny Pop popcorn. That's very nice.
Popcorn. Yeah. I eat a lot of popcorn. It's a rather healthy snack. This is low sodium. So, you know, and it's still tasty.
Which place is your favorite and dream place to play a show?
My dream place to play a show, I've never played there. There's two places, actually. There's a venue in L.A. called the L.A. Forum, where I saw Zeppelin, Rush, Black Sabbath, Jethro Tull, Tom Petty, The Cars, Styx. I saw probably 100 bands when I was a kid. I'd love to play there. Never played there. And Red Rocks in Colorado. I've never played there, and I'd love to play there. So my favorite places to play, I really love playing any of the House of Blues. They're just so well done. They sound great. As far as cities go, anywhere in the U.S. is awesome. And Australia. Those are our two favorite places to play.
Art, what's the power of a song and a story?
It's relating. The power of a song, and I used to teach songwriting. I wrote the curriculum for a songwriting course at a small college in Pasadena, and then I just ran out of time to do it. But to me, the power of the song is the power of the storyteller and the power of a voice. You hear the voice. When you read a book, you hear that voice. There's a voice you hear that isn't your voice. And by hearing someone else's voice telling a story, it connects us to those people. And the best music, the best songs, the best stories, the best books connect a lot of people in a big way that makes us feel not so much alone.
If you couldn't choose a career in music, what career would you have liked to master?
If I couldn't have been a musician, I would have had a career in music as either record label or manager, or probably while writing songs and producing. But my dream career, if I could do it, and I don't know if I'm set to do it, but the thing that excites me the most would be a marine biologist to work specifically with dolphins, because I think dolphins control the world. And I'm not a crackpot, but they have brains that are 7 times the size of our brains, and they use, from what we can estimate, close to 60% of it. We use, what, 3% of our brain? You think we're running the show here? Come on. Come on.
It's time for one big question with Art from Everclear Beyond the Mic. How has your appreciation of music grown since the discovery of your relapsing remitting MS?
Just my appreciation for life, including music and art and love and relationships and everything. It's just grown exponentially because everything's harder now. It's harder to get up, to get on a plane, get up, get dressed, and go to a show. It's harder, just physically harder, not emotionally harder. Things can be like mentally and just be motivational wise to harder when things are physically harder. And that's where my sobriety and that's where my working my program comes in, to be able to motivate myself. But I love my life.
He still has his first album, Kiss Alive 2, would love to play at the LA Forum and or Red Rocks, and wants you to enjoy the Sparkle and Fade 30th Anniversary Tour. Art Alexakis, thanks for taking the time to talk with us today.
Hey, brother.
And that, my friends, is Beyond the Mic. If you're enjoying these conversations, please check out another Beyond the Mic episode to find more actors, artists, and people you need to know. We'd also appreciate a like and subscribe on the Good Pods app.